Well, good morning. We are continuing this series called Higher Still, Growing Up in Jesus Christ. We realize that that's God's requirement. There's nothing wrong with being a baby Christian, but there's something wrong with staying a baby Christian if you can and should grow up in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul on one occasion was addressing believers and he said, I can't talk to you as mature people. I must talk to you as babes, giving you milk when I should be giving you meat, because you are carnal, are fleshly, and not spiritual. He was saying that as a condemnation, as well as a corrective, to say it's time to grow up. And God is wanting to use events around our lives to assist us in our dependence on Him. You see, the title of today's message, this next tool that God uses, is temptation. You mean to tell me that God purposes to use temptation in our lives as a means to cause us and to encourage us to grow up in Jesus Christ? Absolutely. The title of this morning's message is Temptation, the Challenge to Spiritual Growth. Not all temptation, can we say, is instituted by God, obviously. Matter of fact, the Bible says God tempts no man, but we're tempted by our own passions and lusts. It's like the man who was quite a bit overweight, and he decided that part of the problem was that his route going to work took him by a donut shop. He could smell those fresh donuts in the morning. He thought best thing he could do is just take a different route to go to the work. So he did that for several weeks. People at work could see the difference, and then finally one morning he showed up at work with a box of donuts. They said, well, what's the deal? He said, these donuts are straight from God. They said, well, did I hear an amen back there? And he said, what's the deal? He said, well, I decided this morning, I just pray. Lord, I'm going to drive by that donut shop. And if it's your will for me to have a donut, I pray that you'll provide a parking place right up front. He said, sure enough, God did on the eighth trip around the block. God provided that. I know some of you are thinking, forget work, just come to church and get them free, right? I mean, goodness alive. Reminds me of the bumper sticker that says, Lord, lead me not into temptation because I can find it myself. Or like the little girl who was chided by her mama, stay out of the chocolate chip cookies. So the mom hid them up on a high shelf. And in a little bit, mom comes into the kitchen and sees her daughter up on a stool, smacking down on some chocolate chip cookies. And she said, honey, what are you doing? She said, I told you, you didn't need any more chocolate chip cookies. Little girl said, well, mama, I just got up here to smell them and my teeth got caught. I've had that experience on occasion. I'm sure you have too. We discover very quickly that temptations surround us, don't they? We do not have to go hunting for them. They somehow hunt for us. We are surrounded by temptation. It reminds me of the story of a soldier in the Civil War who had gotten injured. And his commander said to him, he said, I know you're not critically injured, but he said, I want you to go to the rear of the campaign because you're injured. And a little while later, the man hobbled back to where the captain was. He said, sir, give me a gun. There is no rear in this campaign. I mean, they were surrounded. That is exactly how temptation is. We are surrounded. Sometimes your holiest moment with God can be corrupted by a thought that seems to come straight from the pit of hell. We are temptable creatures. So how do we respond to temptations to change them to become a resource for our spiritual maturity rather than a reason for our ruin? Let's discover how. Turn with me, please, to the text listed for you in your worship notes. It's James chapter 1, beginning with verse 1 through verse 8. James chapter 1. Let's stand together as we honor the reading of the Lord's Word this morning. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who were dispersed abroad, greeting. These, again, to remind you, they were dispersed by persecution. Jewish believers cast out of their homeland. So they were suffering saints. And yet James says to these struggling, suffering Christians, consider it joy. my brethren, when you encounter various trials, some translations say temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. It's describing spiritual maturity. But if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. May the Lord bless you, read his word. You may be seated. First of all, you'll notice in your worship notes, point number one, the purpose of temptation. Are you saying, Pastor, that God purposes temptation? I am saying that. You'll remember the best example is found in the life of Jesus Christ, where it says in Matthew chapter 4, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The Holy Spirit. You mean to tell me that the God the Father planned for God the Son to be led by God the Spirit into the wilderness for the purpose of temptations in the wilderness? I'm not telling you that. I'm just telling you that that's what the Word is telling you. That God purposes for temptation to have a positive result in our lives. And He does so for reasons to assist us in growing up in Jesus Christ. It's like years ago when the Union Pacific Railroad was being constructed. And they came to a large canyon. So they had to build a trestle bridge for this railroad across this canyon. And once it was constructed, the engineer then got a train and double-loaded it for the weight limitation of the bridge and had that train pushed out on that trestle and left it there all day. Some of those workers were amazed. They said, "Sir, are you trying to break the bridge?" He said, "No, I'm trying to prove that it's ready because it stood the test." The purpose of the temptation of Jesus Christ was to prove that He was not breakable. Now, if you know anything about theology, there are two camps concerning the temptations of Christ. One camp that says Jesus could have sinned, because how can you be and have an honest temptation if you don't have the ability to give in? And the other camp says Jesus did not have the capacity to sin. I'm in camp number two, if you need a designation. That's known in theology as the impeccability of Christ. That Christ did not have the capacity to sin. I still believe that the temptation was valid because of His human nature. I remember asking my dad one time, "Dad, who quit high school in the ninth grade, got his GED in the military. When he surrendered to preach, he went, I think, one or two semesters to Decatur Baptist College, which is now Dallas Baptist University, but then it was in Decatur where it started. My dad had a couple of semesters of school, and because he was already married and had three kids, and we were eating him out of house and home, he had to make a living. He was a pastor in the church on weekends, paid him $15 a week, and so we were living high on the hog. You know how that is. And so he quit school and pastored full-time, and so very, very little college education, very little high school formal education. But I remember asking Dad one time, you know, I came out of seminary, came out of college with all that deep theological information, wise, I mean, resource, that I'm going to get Dad in the corner. And I said, "Dad, could Jesus have sinned?" He said, "Because He was man, He could, but because He was God, He couldn't." Well, thank you very much, Dad. You know, I wanted to accuse my dad of what he used to accuse college professors of. He always said college professors lived in roundhouses because you could never corner them. But, you see, I believe Jesus could not sin because He would not sin. And He would not sin because He could not sin because He would not sin. How do you work that out? That's your problem. Anyway, the point is this. God purposed in the temptations of Christ to validate Him, not to violate Him. And He wants to do the same for you. Notice in this the purpose of temptation. First of all, to prove your faith is true. To prove it's true. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7 says this. In you greatly rejoice, even though this now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials. Again, some translations say temptations. So that the proof, some translations actually use the word the trials for the word proof of your faith, being much more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Notice the temptation and or trials. The word means to prove by experience that it's good. The purpose of fire, of testing gold, is to purify it and to get all the dross out, to make it essentially the purest form that it can be instead of having it mixed with impure elements. The purpose that God wants to do with our faith is to fire it so that it's purged from impurities and make it and prove it as being true. And then that proof, again, it means the genuineness. It is tested and checked to validate that it's real. It's been through a test. We used to see this years ago when artificial coins were made. And often people, when they would get a coin to determine whether it was real or not, you remember see this old cowboy movies? They'd bite on it. If they could bend it, it was fake. If they couldn't, it was true. I don't know how many teeth they lost in the process. But it makes the point. The way to validate it was to check its ability to stand under pressure. And God does the very same thing. Now you'll notice the interchangeableness between temptations and trials. When is a temp? What's the difference? What's the similarity? What's the comparison? All the trials that God brings in our lives, He brings for the purpose of proving, validating, purifying, purging our faith. But every trial can become a temptation. And so the source of what God brings, He brings for His good, His glory and our good, but also Satan gets involved. Satan brings and motivates temptations for the purpose to try to undermine our faith and to destroy us. Not eternally, he can't do that. Once saved, always saved. But he can destroy your witness and your testimony and your effectiveness. Satan can do that only if we allow him to, by giving in. So notice, is not God in charge of what Satan does with temptation? Sure he is. Just like when Job, he said, you can go so far. God says to Satan, you can have him, but you can't kill him. You got to stop there. And the result was, it said at the beginning of Job, he was a perfect man. It didn't mean sinless, it means spiritually mature. He was not a novice in the things of God. And yet, after those trials circumstantially that led into internal temptations, do you not think that Job was a deeper, richer, more mature, more aware of God after that than he was before? Absolutely he was. To prove God, he wants to prove your faith is true. Secondly, he wants to teach you things you would not have known. Hebrews 5:8, speaking of Jesus, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Have you ever slammed your thumb in a door? Woo! First you go, you know what you learn real quickly? I'm going to try real hard not ever to do that again. You know what I'm saying? That's one lesson. That's a quick lesson. And there are other kinds of lessons. And temptations come in all kinds of forms. Don't just think of lust, that is a temptation. But a craving for material things in and of themselves, that's a temptation. Temptations have to do with thought patterns, words, impulses, desires, motivations, attitudes. It has to do with actions or inactions, things that we should be doing or things that we should not be doing. There are multitudes. A trial can become a temptation because is it not true that it's in the valley experiences of a person's life that we are tempted to question the love of God. We are tempted to despair. We are tempted to give up. We are tempted to weaken in our commitment to live for Jesus Christ because of the trial. Every trial has the potential to become a tempting ground in despair for our soul. Pride is one of those things. Gordon MacDonald, who was a great author, the head of InterVarsity Press for many, many years, traveled to this country, spoke in many venues. I've got numerous of his books in my library, Renewing Your Spiritual Passion. He was asked one time at a conference, if Satan were to take him down, did he have any idea what area that Satan might use to undermine his life witness? That's what the question was to this mature preacher author. He thought for a moment. He said, well, I'm not sure, but one area I am sure he will not take me down in, and that is in human relationships, because I've got that area together in my life. It was a few months later that then he had to confess publicly an affair. The very area that he was boasting in is the very area that Satan took him down in. What does the scripture say? Let no man think he stand, lest he fall. Self-confidence is not the same as Christ's confidence. You know what Gordon MacDonald learned? I can't trust myself. I can't be the measure of my own spiritual strength. Only as I consistently look to Christ. And after that experience, he wrote another book, Rebuilding Your Broken World. You see, God wants to teach us things that we would not have learned any other way had we not gone through a trial, temptation experience. Then notice also, it's not only that he teaches us things, but number C, to refocus on our love for God. James 1:12, blessed is the man who perseveres under trials, for once he has been approved. You see that? Approved, validated. He will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Several years ago, the St. Louis Zoo opened a new display. It was called the Big Cat Country Display, where they didn't have cats in the cages. They had them in an open compound, and they had this walkway that went above the area, although part of the walkway was close to some rocks that were on the outskirts of this lion and tiger compound. Well, this mom had had a child in a little carrier pushing along, and then she had two other small children. The thing had just opened. Well, as you could imagine, one of the blankets in the little buggy got hooked up in one of the wheels. So she stops for a moment, kneels down, and she's undoing this blanket from this wheel. And she looks around, and her 3-year-old and 5-year-old had walked on down a ways, and they discovered that they were skinny enough to slip between the bars on this walkway. And they had climbed down to where they were sitting on some rocks that were overlooking the compound. The mother comes up. She can't get over the bars. She can't get through them. She thinks, if I scream, I'm going to startle my children or alert the animals. She doesn't know what to do. So she kneels down, and she calls her children by name. She said, hey, so-and-so, hey, so-and-so, why don't you come here for a hug from Mama? Those little kids popped right up, came right over, slipped right through the bars, and Mama grabbed them with a hug. So it was the love of the mother that saved their lives. It's our love for God that's the salvation we need against temptation. It's not living in our own defense. It's focusing on His love for us. Very quickly. Not only that, notice next the protection in temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but will with the temptation provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it, or to bear it. Two things under this heading, as you see there. First of all, God limits the intensity. Not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. God limits the intensity. Let me hasten to say, this is in the course of daily life. This is not when you've gone around the donut shop 8 times and then driven into the parking place and blamed God for the compulsion that you have that you can't resist. If you put yourself through stupid decisions in circumstances, you are dropping the preventative grace of God to protect you from those experiences, and the growth of the intensity of that compulsion has been facilitated by you and not by God. But as you attempt to live in wisdom and discernment and obedience, when those things come up that are unexpected, compulsions, thought, exposures to things, when they come, and they will come, and they do come, more so than ever before, we can't get away from them. Billboards, cell phones, computer screens, on and on. Never before has so much smut been so available to every age. I'll never forget Vance Havner, the old evangelist years ago. Sermons, quotes, things he said still ring in my head. And he talked about pornography. He said, never since Manhattan was sold for $24 has so much smut been offered for so little money. We live in an immersion of filth and temptation. But if you're living in obedience, God limits the intensity. Secondly, God leads a way out. But God will make a way of escape. We are commanded repeatedly in Scripture to run for our lives from temptation. Do you realize that? It's the word flee. That doesn't mean that little animal crawls on the back of your dog. That means run for your life. Repeatedly in Scripture, flee fornication, which is sexual immorality. Flee idolatry. Flee youthful lusts. At one place, when that text that says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, the rest that says flee these things. In other words, flee the mindset of materialism that pursues money as an end in itself. Flee these things. Run for your life. Well, what direction do we run? The way of escape that God provides. I would suggest any and every time you've ever consciously given into temptation, you are also just as conscious of the way out that you ignored. God's provided a way of escape. Question is, do you want it or not? And then number three, the provisions in temptation. The provision is ultimately Jesus Christ himself. Let me give you a verse of Scripture. It's not listed on your worship notes. It's Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. This is what it says. Since then the children share in flesh and blood, he, speaking of Jesus, himself likewise also took the same, what is flesh and blood, he became man, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power over death, that is the devil, and might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. What kind of slavery? Sin. For assuredly he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation, big word, payment, to make payment for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he suffered, you see the combination, temptation and suffering. For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. The word translated aid in the New American Standard, does anybody have a different word for aid? Is everybody about the same? You know what the literal word means in the Greek language? It means run toward the cry. That's literally what it means. It says because Jesus has suffered and faced temptation like we, he did so that he could experientially know what it's like for us to face times of trial and temptation, so that when we cry for help, Jesus runs toward the cry. Wow. Jesus is our protection. What do we do? Three things very quickly. Rejoice in the Lord. James 1:2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when we encounter various trials. We're not thanking God for the trials. We're thanking God in the trials. We're thanking God for God in the trials. We're thanking God for God's provision and way of escape out of the trials. We're thanking God for his strength and grace to endure the trials. Every opportunity for failure is an opportunity to fan the flames of rejoicing in the goodness and grace of God. It all depends on how you choose to respond. Temptation is as common to man, the scripture says. What we do with it determines whether it helps us grow or causes us to stumble. Rejoice in the Lord. Secondly, remain faithful. James 1:12, blessed is the man who perseveres unto trial. For once he has been approved, he receives the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Remaining faithful. James Montgomery Boyce, a Presbyterian theologian of years ago, said it concerning trials, when you come to Christ, you're called to a lifelong struggle between sin and God in your life. Lifelong struggle. Again, I quoted a little from Vance Havner moments ago. He was the king of cliches. He'd say it's hard to be optimistic with a misty optic. I mean, that's Vance Havner. He was married late in life, never learned to drive, but traveled all over this country preaching. His wife traveled with him. Then they had no children. His wife became ill late in life, and he prayed one night that God would heal her. And he went home, and when he spent time in God's Word, and he came across that text of Scripture which said, this is not unto death. There's a passage that has that phrase in it. He took that to mean that God was going to heal her, so he claimed that. She died. Is that an opportunity to despair? Say, Lord, why did you mislead me? He didn't say that. His wife died at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday night. The next morning at 11, Vance Havner was preaching the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remain faithful? It's tough. Let me tell you, one of the things Vance Havner said, he lived into his 80s, he said, he prayed, Lord, help me, don't please God, don't let me become a dirty old man. He said, Lord, when my time comes, help me to have a quick getaway. Help me to have a quick getaway. Let me tell you something. Temptations and trials are never ending. You say, I don't like this kind of deal. Can God rewrite my job description? Well, you can talk to him about it, but good luck with that. You say, well, I'm not going to believe in a God that has a system like that. I go, all right, that just means you're going to face the same kind of junk in life without him. Good luck with that. We have victory. We have hope. We have encouragement. We have his presence. He runs towards our cry. He sustains us. He provides a way out. And when we fail, he picks us up, cleans us off, just like he did Peter. You love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. And it was Peter who was preaching on the day of Pentecost. That one who had cursed God and denied Christ and tried to prove it. I don't know him. But God forgave him and God redeemed him and God restored him. And he was the preacher when the Holy Spirit came down and birthed the body of Christ in the New Testament. Remain faithful. You don't know what God's going to do yet in your life. You stay true. Last is request God's help. Matthew 6:13. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Why was Jesus tempted? Scripture told us, we read it a few moments ago. This is my boiled down version of an interpretation. Don't try this at home. Jesus was tempted to become more like you and me. Not in our sin, but in our suffering. And we are tempted so that as we respond rightly to the temptations and trials, we become more like Him. That's the purpose. Randall led us in an old song a few moments ago. Here's another one. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward. Dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus. He will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you. Comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. The question is, are you asking? Let's pray. My Heavenly Father, I thank you for the truth of your word that promises us that what you bring into our life, even if it's allowing Satan to come in with trying to undermine our faith through times of trial, it's an opportunity for us to be fortified in the spiritual armor to resist the evil one and he will flee. The scripture says, withstand him, absorb the fiery darts. God, what you allow, you do so for our growth and our good and your glory. If we will cry for help, if we will call, if we will remain faithful, if we will rejoice in your grace each and every day. God, there are people here that face some particular perpetual struggles of soul and spirit and mind. It could be a lust issue. It could be too much availability of pornography or filth. It could be a compulsion of a habit of bad words. It could be, God, a spirit of worry or despair or fear or anger. It could be, God, that they are struggling with faith. Can they still believe even when days are dark? Can they still trust when they can't understand what you're doing? Can they still trust your heart even though they can't trace your hand? Holy Spirit of God, open our hearts fully to you to help us know that temptations can be tools for growth. We don't run to them, we run from them. But God, when they come, we stand in Christ. We trust you. We call for help. We look for the way of escape. And then we grow up, having our faith tested and tried and approved as being true. Thank you, God. Lord, if there's someone here today that's the struggle of temptation is fierce, and maybe they're much more conscious of their failures than they are of their successes, I pray that we would recognize that you still say in your word, if we, and this is a word to Christians, if we will confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You are still in the forgiving business. If you could use Peter all over again, you can use us too. Lord, this altar is yours. This invitation is yours. If you're leading a family to this church to join with us to lift up Christ in this community, the Jesus who can help us overcome temptation and forgive us when we fail, and to give us strength to overcome next time. Help us to know how to bear witness to this world and this community of a Christ who saves and redeems. Lord, this invitation is yours. Be glorified in our response to run to your loving arms, to get that hug from Jesus that saves us from the lion that's trying to devour our lives. God, make it so now in every heart. In Jesus' name I pray.